Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Blaine Barton and Bob Hunt are back for part two of their Windows Azure IaaS for IT Professional series. And in today's episode, they show us how to upload a VM via PowerShell and then add that image to the virtual machine gallery. They'll then show us the process of creating a new virtual machine with the uploaded image as the base image in Windows Azure. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, Senior Technical Evangelist here in Florida, and I've got Bob Hunt from New York back. How you doing, Bob?
Doing great, Blaine. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. So we're going into part two here, uploading a virtual machine via PowerShell and adding it to the virtual machine gallery. Can you walk us through a little bit about what we're going to see here?
Absolutely. Yeah. So in part one, what we did is we built out a, what I would call a basic infrastructure inside of Windows Azure, really to have an environment for an IT pro to make it feel like it's a lab environment. So this second session, what we do is we try and make it feel like home, make it feel like, wow, I can, do things that make it feel like it's, part of my existing environment, right? So really get folks comfortable with the cloud. I know a lot of times IT pros are a little bit, oh my gosh, this cloud is this separate thing and I have to treat it like something different. But what we're trying to do is, show you that very simply that you can make it feel like it's, your existing environment that's sitting on the other side of the wall.
Well, great. Let's take a look. And by the way, you do need to have a Windows Azure account. You can get that at http://aka.ms/Azure Bootcamp. So let's go ahead and get right into part two.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the cool thing about Windows Azure is that there's a specific module for PowerShell for Windows Azure. So the nice part about that is that what it does is for those of you not familiar with Windows Azure, not familiar with PowerShell, what you can do is using a very simple set of tools that are very natural language, English-based tools, you can really do some very simple things like copy, things up to Windows Azure. So in the session one, what we did was we created that environment for an IT pro to have a basic Active Directory environment, a couple other servers like a file server for them to make it feel like it's a good lab environment, and they can have some networking happen between those two. And then once that's done, what really comes down is like, well, geez, I set this up with images that Microsoft provided, right? This isn't my stuff, right? This is somebody else's stuff, right? Wouldn't it be great for me to take some of my existing VMs that I had running on Hyper-V or take my gold server image and upload it to Windows Azure and build servers with that image? Well, that's what we do. So I introduce folks how to set up PowerShell so that you have a secure connection from your existing workstation back up to your PowerShell tenant, to your Azure tenant. And then after that, we copy VM up there. So that VM gets copied up there. It takes a while, right? So it's not an interactive thing. Hopefully you're going to understand that, I copied up an 8.5 gig VM. It took a couple hours. But after that was done, what you can do is using a single command, you have to change a couple things in red in PowerShell, you place it in the Windows Azure gallery, and then when you create a new VM, look, your image is there. So you're now creating images in the cloud with your pre-built image that has your configuration, your security template, your pre-installed applications, all said and done, and you can do it in just a few minutes. So it really adds a tremendous amount of power to the toolbox of an IT pro for getting familiar with the cloud.
That's fantastic. Hey, let's take a look.
So as we're talking about Windows Azure, as we've discussed in previous sessions, Windows Azure helps really round out Microsoft's continuous offering from private to public cloud. Microsoft is very unique in the industry where we have offerings that cover both physical, virtual, as well as all three major types of cloud computing, and the infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service arena. So Windows Azure Virtual Machines, which we are focused on today, is in the realm of infrastructure as a service, which is really introducing a new functionality that allows control and management of these virtual machines, as well as extensive virtual networking if you choose to use that. So today, the kind of the big benefit here is that it's one thing for us to spin up those virtual machines like we were talking about in the previous session, but today what we're going to do is show you how to upload one of your own virtual machines. You don't necessarily have to build them in the cloud. You can build them in your existing Windows Server 2008 R2 or Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V environment, and then upload them using what we're going to go through here today. So at Microsoft, as we've approached the cloud computing model that I mentioned, we are very much using a hybrid cloud model. You can see at the very top here in the middle, Windows Azure is one of Microsoft's public cloud offerings. But in the middle, the common technologies, you know, the identity, virtualization and management, and you know, certainly today it's more focused on virtualization, if you will, are part of the things that really tie together your on-premise private cloud environment that's running virtualization to Windows Azure. And today's really starting to bring those two things together. Even without a virtual network in place, you know, we can certainly take advantage of taking on-premise virtualization and bring it directly up to Windows Azure. So that's the idea. So we didn't necessarily require a site-to-site VPN tunnel. It's nice if you have one, but for the purpose of these sessions, from a straight training perspective, it is not necessary to use PowerShell to go directly into your Windows Azure subscription and copy files up there. In this case, we're copying up a VHD. But if your organization is interested in taking advantage of the full power of Windows Azure, doing a site-to-site VPN with one of the many devices that supports that, or using a software-based VPN solution into Windows Azure, the solution really gives you ultimate flexibility to extend your data center into the cloud and really prepare your business for taking advantage of the cloud on your terms rather than having to force your way to the cloud. So when you're building images inside of Windows Azure, we provide a bunch of them in a section called the gallery. You know, so there's a bunch of available from Microsoft that are Microsoft-based operating systems on the left. So we've got Windows Server 2012 being the latest version of Windows Server in the cloud. A number of other things, including SQL and SharePoint available, and a number of Linux distributions as well. But the most important thing that might be available to you up there is your image. So when we're talking to IT professionals, one of the things that becomes clear is that's like we did in the first session, and we did in the session one that Tommy Patterson had done, we're using standard images that are provided by Microsoft. So you're starting from a base Microsoft image and you're creating a virtual machine from there. But what becomes a bit more interesting is, you know, it's not uncommon for our customers to have a standard server image that is something that they use to build out all their servers and their infrastructure. Well, it seemed to make an awful lot of sense if I'm going to really leverage the cloud the same way I leverage my existing data center, that I take that server image, I bring it up to the cloud, and I build my virtual machines in the cloud with that, or I can copy them up there and just mount them. You know, a couple different ways that you can approach this. So you can upload those virtual machines directly to the cloud, or if you've got an image that you're using and you've got that gold image that's got all of your custom software, your operating system configuration that meets, you know, whatever security template you might use in your organization, as well as any other common changes that you make to your servers once you roll them out to a common configuration across your servers, why would you have to rebuild it in the cloud, right? Well, it wouldn't make sense for us to force you to do that. So we're going to talk about bringing your image up to the cloud. So we're going to go and put it up in the cloud today for the purposes of this session. We're going to leave it as small. As we have mentioned previously, one of the things that we're trying to do in this training exercise is keep the costs to a minimum. But at the same time, when we do the deprovisioning session next Wednesday, what we are going to do is give you a way to shut everything down and stop the costs from coming so that you're able to export out the virtual machines that are that have been created during this training exercise, and then when you get the bill, if you will, it'll be a relatively small bill, you know, under $100. And what it allows you to do is get a really good accounting for understanding what it would like to run your VMs in the cloud. So then when you do the discussion with your manager and saying, hey, I think it would make sense for us to run, you know, XYZ virtual machine in the cloud, you have run a small pilot in the cloud. You have an idea of what those costs are. So you're really able to extrapolate what those costs are and compare it to what your acquisition costs and your management of your servers in your infrastructure, be they virtual or physical, or both in your infrastructure. So we're going to talk about PowerShell for Windows Azure. This is a feature that's came out. I guess it was late last summer. We had announced this. You know, the Windows Azure Infrastructure as a Service has been in preview, or had been in preview from the spring of last year, and it was over the summer time frame that they started to talk about and add in the PowerShell scripting features. So this really allows IT professionals to leverage PowerShell in, you know, Windows Azure virtual machines in the same way that if you used PowerShell locally, as if those virtual machines were sitting in your existing data center. So, you know, what it's going to require, and this is what we're going to go through today, is the installation of the Windows Azure PowerShell module and, you know, configure it with your pay-as-you-go account that you had set up previously. So what this does is going to allow the scripted administration of Windows Azure, you know, the virtual machines that we put up there, and many of the other features of Windows Azure. But you're able to do PowerShell scripting direct to and inside of those virtual machines, as well as make changes to Windows Azure using PowerShell. So Windows Azure is PowerShell enabled completely, so you can do overall administration of your tenant, as well as manage the individual virtual machines and many of the other features inside of Windows Azure. So if you're already using PowerShell, you know, I'm using a very simple script that I'm going to be going through today. This is a an export script that I've got up on the screen, which we'll touch on a week from now. But we're going to use the PowerShell integrated scripting environment that comes with Windows 7, Windows 8, and we're going to use the script that's on the screen to import your virtual machines directly into Azure. So this is going to give you just a much different feeling of the cloud and being the cloud, make it feel more like home is what I've been telling the folks, where you can touch touch servers that you built with your own hands on premise, but you know now they're running in the cloud. An event yesterday in New York, and one of the things that that came up from the audience members was like, well, geez, you know, what if I've just got a server on premise and I want to move it to the cloud, right? It's hardware end of life, it's not virtualized. So what if I want to just move that to Azure? I said, yeah, absolutely, we can take advantage of the features of P2V inside of System Center. We could do a physical to virtual conversion. So you take that server, essentially that server would be converted into a VHD file, and it's that VHD file that you could use to upload going through the processes that we're going to be using today. That's all the time I have for the context of today. So now we're jumping into the lab, and we're going to go through the sessions, these sections that I've outlined ahead to get your local machine configured to work with your Windows Azure tenant. And I'm hoping you've gone through some of this. I had a couple slides at the tail end of the last session to get you to go through and do this beforehand, and then what it will allow us to do is move a little bit faster, because the time to upload a virtual machine, depending upon the size, could be longer than this entire session today. So we can certainly kick that off. This session is recorded, so in the case where you don't have all that configured and you need to upload it and it's going to take more time than we have today, you're more than welcome to come back to this session, which will be recorded, and pick it up where you left off. So go ahead and log into your Azure account. And Actually, the first thing we're going to do is once you're in Windows Azure, open up another tab in your browser and navigate to the URL that's on the screen. So I had created a blog post that's going to walk through the steps of getting these steps completed, the first of which is pointing everyone to a blog post that says Get Started with Windows Azure Commandlets. So navigate to http://aka.ms/IaaS/setup. Notice there's two S's there. The blog post is looks very similar to what I've got up here on the screen. About halfway down the post, I've got a link to a Get Started with Windows Azure Commandlets link. Click on that, and it's going to open up an article on the MSDN site that talks you through, or essentially walks you through, getting your local machine set up and configured with Windows Azure and Windows PowerShell. So really the first thing that we're going to do is it's going to prepare your environment, make sure that your machine is running Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows Server 2012, or Windows Server 2008 R2, because those are the supported places where the PowerShell module that we're going to install is going to be installed. You already have a Windows Azure subscription, so you would need that. The uploaded management certificate is not required, as we're about halfway down the screen here. That's not required, but essentially the next thing it does is point you to a hyperlink to install the Windows Azure PowerShell module, right? So on the downloads page, you can under Windows click install, and you can get that process started. What this is going to do is it's going to give you another PowerShell module on your local computer. If you're familiar with PowerShell today, if you just hit the start button on your computer and just type in PowerShell or however you get into PowerShell, you're going to have another option on your computer. It's not just going to be PowerShell. You're going to have an option for Windows Azure PowerShell. It will be a different program on your machine, and that's the PowerShell module that we're going to be leveraging for today's exercise. So I will give you a moment to get that installed. Now, once that is installed, we've got a couple things that it's important to point out. The first things that we are doing with the Windows Azure PowerShell we would need to, first of all, to go run it on our computer after it is installed. And typically when we're running the Windows Azure PowerShell, we're just going to run it. That's not always the case when you're doing a setup for the first time. The first time that you're setting this up, you're going to need to run the Windows Azure PowerShell as an administrator to set the execution policy and import the Windows Azure commandlet module into your local PowerShell machine. So typically, if you're in Windows 7, you probably know how to run something as an administrator. In Windows 8, if you're not familiar with that, you can just hit the Start button, start to type the word Power or PowerShell. You will see a number of options pop up on the screen. One of them will be Windows Azure PowerShell. You can right-click on that. On the bottom of the screen, you'll have the option to run it as an administrator. The experience is slightly different if you're doing a touch-based environment, but since we're doing PowerShell, I'm kind of assuming that we're doing keyboard and mouse rather than touchscreen. So once you run the Windows Azure PowerShell as an administrator, there's a couple steps here that you need to go through to get essentially, you need to export out your Azure publish settings file. So what you can do is you can type that into PowerShell, and What it does is it brings you to a browser window that's windows.azure.com/download/publish-profile. Then what it does is it gives you the ability to get this, download this file, and you need to save this as a .publish settings file to your local computer. And make sure you know where you're saving it to, because we're going to need it again in a moment to import it into your local PowerShell configuration of your machine. So I'll give you a moment to do that. Now, once you've saved your published settings file, once again, in the Windows Azure PowerShell window, you need to run the import-Azure published settings file, and then point it to the location on your machine where you saved that published settings file. Should be relatively straightforward. There's no need to make any modifications for this file. You just need to export. Essentially, you're exporting out the security settings for your Windows Azure tenant, the pay-as-you-go account that you've already pre-configured inside of Windows Azure is one of the things that is already set up for you. You just need to make your local machine aware of it. All right. So once you have imported your Azure published settings file, we're going to jump back to your web browser and go back to my blog post. What you want to do at this point is you want to go to the second and third things down there on the list, right? So get right under the Get Started with Windows Azure Commandlets. I've got two things that we're going to be leveraging today. I've got import script .ps1 and import script .ps2. .ps1, for those of you not familiar with this, that is the extension of a PowerShell script. So when you click on either one of those, what it's going to do is it's going to bring you to my public SkyDrive where I have these hosted, and you can just right-click on these, or you can just click on them, and you'll see a little bar across the bottom that says, save or save as, and you can save the file locally. You need to do this for both the import script.ps1 and import script2.ps1. So I'm keeping the, and I'll mention this again, I'm doing some very basic, very simple PowerShell scripts here. For those of you who might not be familiar with PowerShell, it can get relatively programmatic if you want it to, but you can also keep it extremely simple if you would like. So what I'm trying to do is break it down into step-by-step pieces rather than putting them all in one big script. I'm going to break them down into separate steps. You have an understanding of, okay, this script handles the following steps, and this script handles the other steps. We could certainly put these two files together and have both of these things happen at once, but I've chosen to keep them separate for the purposes of introduction and simplicity to PowerShell. So I'm going to give you a moment to download those two files. They're extremely small. Just save them someplace on your local machine, you're going to need to be able to navigate to those on your local machine using File Manager in a moment. So let's do that. Let's open up File Manager, go to the directory where you saved the import script, that .ps1 file, right-click on it, and choose Edit. Now, once you choose Edit, what you're going to see is it's going to open up the Windows PowerShell ISE, or Integrated Scripting Environment, this is the robust PowerShell engine that has come with PowerShell version 3.0 is available with Windows 7, Windows 8. One of the things that is nice to do is give us a very descriptive view of what things are PowerShell commands and what things you need to configure on your own. So once you see this, you'll notice that in the window here, you've got some things that line one, you can notice it with the line where it says select-Azure subscription, you notice that that's written in blue. And next to that, you see something in quotes, and that's pay as you go. So you see this is fairly natural, language-based language here in PowerShell. So pay as you go is the name of the subscription that most likely, assuming you're using a pay as you go account, as I am, this is what you want to. You can probably just leave that. But if you're using a different type of account, a prepaid account or an MSDN account or something like that, you would make that change. The second line is, I guess, where the magic happens. So in this case, now that you've got your local PowerShell machine configured to work with your Azure subscription, you just need to point it to the subscription, which is what we've done in line one. And the second line is doing the actual import of the VHD. So when you see in this case, it's add-Azure VHD. Dash local file path, and I'm pointing it to something, this VHD file that was on my E drive. So you notice that you're only changing the things in red, so that probably doesn't apply to the name of your VM or the location of your VM, so you need to change that information in red to wherever the VM is that you want to upload to Windows Azure. Now, once you've changed that, you know where this VM is that you want to upload and try out in Windows Azure. You need to tell it where to put it. So once again, then you see a dash destination, right? It's the source and the destination. That's really the two things that we're working with here. The local dash local file path says where the local file is, and the dash destination is, hey, where am I putting this in Azure? And in this case, you're going to put it on your blob storage account that you'd already set up and configured when we did session one. So essentially, you've got a storage account that you have created when we went through this the first time. What you need to do is you need to find out the name of that storage account. Maybe it's memorized and you know what it is, maybe not. So if you don't know where it is, and you need to find out, well, geez, Bob, I don't remember what my storage account name is. So go back to your other tab where you have Windows Azure portal open. Click on the storage tab. Now you may notice here that I've got more than one storage account. So in this case, what you can do is you can click on the name of your storage account. Once it opens up the dashboard, you can see down the screen about halfway what the name of your blob storage is. So you see here, I've got it pointed out with the red arrow. So in this case, this particular one I did is Bob Hunt, Bob H. Lab Store 1, but I've got a couple other ones. I think the one that I pointed the script to was Bob H. Storage. You get the idea. You need to change it to whichever is the name of your blob storage for your environment. So change the name of your destination for where this is going to go inside of Windows Azure. So move back to your Windows Azure PowerShell ISE, and then you're going to press F5 to run the script. You could always go to File, Run, essentially, when you press F5, it does the same thing. It runs everything that's in the script. The integrated scripting environment allows you to do a bunch of other things to upload your virtual machine. This is the part that, if you haven't gotten to this point, could take a good while. So what I'm going to do is that, as I said, for those of you who are just doing this for the first time and you're keeping up with me, so fantastic. This is a good thing, and maybe you have already done this. If you have not, This could take a while. So I've used a VHD that we were using at our sessions previously at our events earlier this year. It was about an 8.5 gig VHD that we were using. It was a Windows Server 2012 eval VHD that I was we were using to mount locally on Hyper-V and do a bunch of things with, and it was readily available. So I uploaded it. So that was what I was pointing to in the script that's up here on the screen, the /bobhws2012eval.vhd. Well, that file was about 8.5 gigs, so I've got a pretty good size connection, but that's a really big file. So you could be watching the screen here for a while. You will notice if you're doing your upload right now or just starting your upload, you will get a progress bar that shows up in the results pane, the blue part of the screen here that I've got the big red arrow. It will tell you, what percentage of this has been uploaded. And it will give you an estimate of how long that's going to take, which, like all estimates, is just that, an estimate. So the time could fluctuate up and down. But it took about 2.5 hours for me to upload that 8.5 gig file. As you can notice from where I pointed the big arrow, elapsed time for the upload, 2 hours and 30 minutes and 7 seconds. So essentially, it could take a good bit of time for this to happen. We are not going to wait 2.5 hours in this session for that to happen, if that's where you are at that point. And that's the benefit of why we are recording this. So if you want to pick back up this session, if you're just doing this right now for the first time and it may take you an hour or two to upload the VHD that you've chosen, fantastic. If you don't want to upload the VHD at this point in time and you're just here to learn, fantastic. You can follow along because we're going to go through the next couple steps as well. So moving on to that, right? So we'll assume that your upload has completed, or you're going to complete that upload at a future point in time. So once that upload has completed, we need to run the second script. So much like we did before, we have to locate that import script 2.ps1 using File Manager. So go to File Manager, right-click on the file, and choose Edit, and it will open it up inside of the Windows PowerShell ISE environment. Once again, you have to change the items that are in red to your information. So in this case, right, I'm still using the same, just like you are, the same name of the virtual machine. So in this case, I could call it something different, right? So, whatever I want to make this named when I see it up inside of Windows Azure, this is what I want to call it this, right? So even though the file name was, BobHWS2012eval, up there I could call it Mickey Mouse. It doesn't necessarily have to be named the same, but I left it the same for simplicity's sake. And then the dash media location is once again where this is going to be stored. So you're pointing once again to your blob storage location. And this should be the same, or it definitely is the same as the blob storage location you got from when you edited the import script previously. So make that change. And then press F5 to execute this. Now, unlike the upload portion, this will only take a moment because this is really just making this VHD visible in the gallery up on Windows Azure. So once you've completed that, this happens relatively quickly. We can jump back to the Windows Azure portal that we had opened previously. So jump back to the Windows Azure portal. Once you have done that, go to the Virtual Machines tab, and then much like we did in the first session, when you're creating new virtual machines, click on New in the bottom left-hand corner and choose New Virtual Machine, and then From Gallery, just like you're creating a new virtual machine. Now, once you have done that, you can scroll down and see that the when it opens up the From Gallery, you see that you've got a number of different options. But this time, what you can do is you can scroll down and notice that you will see your uploaded VHD further down the screen. So the, you know, Windows Server 2012 is the first thing. So there's a little gray bar on the right-hand side that you can scroll down. Once you scroll down, you will see a number of other things. You see, you know, some BizTalk and SharePoint, Ubuntu, OpenLogic, CentOS, and then down there you will finally see that VHD that you uploaded. You choose that VHD that you uploaded, whatever you named it, there it is. It is named, and it is in the gallery. Once you choose that, click on the arrow on the right-hand corner, and then you get the option to name it. So once again, I'm keeping all the names the same. So I'm naming my VM, choose the size of small, and then click the arrow on the right-hand side of the screen. So it should look something like this in the gallery, and then you'd be able to name the VM in the virtual machine configuration tab on the second tab. So you should see your VM in the gallery, choose it, name it, choose the size of small. Now we're in the virtual machine mode. Once again, we can choose, we'll choose standalone virtual machine. Now I'm going to name it, luckily the BobHWS2012 eval is unique. So keep in mind that this does have to be a unique name for your virtual machine. It can't just be VM1. It needs to be something unique for your environment. And once you do that, you choose whether or not you want this to be part of your affinity group and virtual network. Click the arrow in the bottom right-hand corner. Go to the virtual machine options. And then for availability set, we're just going to leave that default with none. And lo and behold, you see the enable PowerShell remoting. Now, when we saw this previously, we had left this box checked for the other virtual machines that we set up inside of your Windows Azure tenant. So you can execute PowerShell commands against those virtual machines that we created previously as well. So we'll leave that box checked for this one as well, and then click on the arrow button in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, and then it starts to go off and provision your VM. So you'll see here on the screen, we'll jump back and it will start to provision a virtual machine in the name of the virtual machine that you had created. So this will take a few minutes, and lo and behold, what have we done here, right? We've taken a virtual machine from your on-premise environment. We've moved it up to Windows Azure, right? So this could be your, you know, your favorite VM, could be an image, could be whatever you would like it to be in either one of those cases. But now you can see it's relatively straightforward to move this and make this virtual machine or image available in the gallery. So, and I broke up the two the two scripts that we did into two pieces to understand the difference, right? One of them got the file up there, right? It's the old file copy that we all know and love. And then the other one was literally just making it visible in the gallery. So that's why it's broken up. Feel free, or I would even encourage you to take these two PowerShell files and put them together in a single PowerShell script, a new .ps1 file. You could even cut and paste them right in your existing PowerShell ISC to do that, and then just save that wherever you want to keep your scripts. And you can do this all in a single step rather than doing it in two steps, but I'm doing this for the purposes for those of you who are not comfortable in doing lots of PowerShell stuff. Keep this separate, but this is a really powerful thing to be able to do, because it really just opens up Windows Azure to just doing whatever you would like. There are a number of P2V tools out there, or if you already have a bunch of VHDs lying around, you can copy them up and really just take advantage of having a full-blown virtualization environment available to you in Windows Azure, and it gives you the flexibility to do that on your time. And the faster your internet connection, the less time it's going to take for you to upload. So my 8-gig file from my house would probably take an awful lot less time if I was sitting in my office when there is more bandwidth at the office than there is at my house. So keep that in mind as well. That's the other nice part about having a cloud service, is that you can do these operations both at home and at work, and use the additional bandwidth to wherever you have more bandwidth, home or work, and move your files at that location to minimize the time it takes to get these files up there. Because if I was doing, if I had a 100 megabit connection to the internet on the at work, that'd be take a lot less time to upload an 8-gig file. So.
Well, that was great, Bob. Good job on part two, uploading a virtual machine via PowerShell and adding it to the virtual machine gallery. Great job so far. Anything you want to close with?
Yes, I mean, this really gets IT professionals, the basic, what I would call environment, to really start to control your Azure environment using PowerShell. So what this does is now you can really put your own stuff up into Azure very simply, right? A couple little lines of things you need to just point to your VHD and upload it. And then once it's up there, you can build it in the cloud, whatever size you would like, and administer it the way you would as if it was sitting on your own network, which is a very cool thing. So I encourage you to come back for session 3, where we'll show you how to shut everything down and do it either via PowerShell or through the portal.
Fantastic. Well, Bob Hunt, it's always a pleasure to have you on IT Time TechNet Radio. And with that, it's a wrap.